This is Brother Dana's nephew, and all the way from Elyria, Ohio. Appreciate his family being here all week. Brother Jack, you come around, preach to us. You got about 30 minutes. They'll run the light for you. It's just good to have you at camp meeting. I love you, brother. Preach to us. Amen.
Well, hallelujah. I don't know if you can feel what I'm feeling, but I've got about 100 at least emotions going through my body. And 99 of them are positive. One of them is that old devil telling me this ain't going to work out for you. But he's been telling me that since I was born. Let me just say to you, by all rights, I should not be up here behind this thing. It wasn't just that long ago that I was doing 5 years in prison. My life had spiraled out of control. I mean, I was a real mess. But I want to say to the devil, it didn't work out quite like you thought, did it? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Woo! Amen. Hallelujah. I'm no longer what I used to be. Hallelujah. Praise God. And I'm not being arrogant about that when I say it. I didn't expect to be here. I didn't think I'd make it. Glory to God, but I'm glad Jesus can step in and make something out of you today. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Bless his name. I say glory to God. Woo. Well, I'm just saying today I'm a little excited to be up here is all I can tell you. If you got your Bibles, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Boy, I want to say a few things today. Oh, this is the message that God has given me liberty to preach. And I pray it'll be a blessing to you. And I'm glad God knows how to get you to the well. I've been thinking about what my Uncle Dana said. And boy, I don't know how I made it in Taylorsville, North Carolina. I've been kicking these sawdust chips around the last few days. And every time I look down at them, I think of a day when I used to kick beer bottles around. And I'd walk down that alley and step on drug needles. And I used to walk over drug addicts and all that. And I look down and I see these chips laying under my feet. And praise God, it does something for me. I'm in a new place. Thank Jesus. I'm not in that old place this morning. Hallelujah. I don't know if you're as excited about it as I am, but I'm telling you this morning, I'm excited that I'm saved and I'm a child of the living God. I no longer belong to that rotten old devil. He can try all he can try to get me back. I'm not going back. Don't want to go back. Hallelujah. Thank you, Brother Steve, for allowing me to do this. I know. Let me just take all thoughts out of your mind real quick before you think I'm somebody. This nice shirt I got was bought by Brother Rod Mattoon. This Bible, this nice $200 Bible I got was bought by my pastor. These shoes I got on, my mother bought them right before I came here. Hey, I'm nobody. Get that out of your mind right now. Please, before I go any further, I'm nobody. And if it wasn't from Jesus, honey, I'd still have an orange jumpsuit on, headed to hell. I want you to know, I'm nobody. Yeah. Woo! But Jesus is somebody. And thank God for the day when this nobody met a somebody. Hallelujah. Woo! Glory to God. So let's just get that out of the way right now. I am nobody. But I want to tell you about somebody. Hallelujah. Let me at least read this before I run out of time. In chapter 11 of 2 Corinthians, Verse 23 says this. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. And labors more abundant, and stripes above measure, and prisons more frequent, and deaths oft. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice was I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day have I been in the deep. In journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Besides all those things, pastor in a Baptist church, or it says, which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Who is weak and I'm not weak? Who is offended and I burn not? If I must needs glory, I will glory in the things that which concern my infirmities. I want to preach this to you this morning. I can't quit. I can't quit. And the ever-present question before us this morning is, can Paul quit? I've only been saved for 15 years. I know I'm new at this. But as I read and study my Bible and I consider the sovereignty and providence and the inexhaustible and unexplainable and indescribable power of an almighty God, I sometimes ask this crazy question. Can Paul quit? And by quit, I don't mean for a week or for a day or for a month or for even a year. I mean, can Paul totally turn his back on God? When I consider the disciples and how they were tortured, crucified, burned alive, stoned, drowned, sawn asunder, hey, all that mess, when all they had to do was just deny Christ and they couldn't do it. They had something real, is what I'm saying. Could they really deny Christ? When I consider the Fox's Book of Martyrs and I read all down through the pages of that book and I find where them folks could have just said, I deny Christ, and they could have lived. In the Middle East right now, as we sit on our padded pews, there is folks right now being beheaded. They're hiding in basements. They're hiding in attics. They're underground as far as they can get because they know the consequences of someone over there finding out they're a Christian, honey, is death. But yet they worship him with a smile on their face and a joy in their heart. Listen, they had something real. Paul had something real. They aren't social Christians. They wasn't sometimes Christians. But honey, they were sold out Christians. And then I can't help but to hear about so-and-so who quit on God because they didn't get to sing the special Sunday morning. And they somebody sat in their seat. And the preacher came by and asked him, where was you Sunday morning? And they all of a sudden can't be found with a APB put out on them. All I'm saying is if you can quit, maybe it is that you don't have what Paul had. Let me read John chapter 1 and verse 2. John chapter 2, it says this. Now, before you go to throwing stones at me about believing, I don't want to tell you that I believe it or not. I want to leave that up to you, but I want to say this. The Bible says they went out from us, but they were not of us. Don't just consider that everyone that gets up off the pew and runs out, honey, and turns their back on God and says, he's not God, I made a mistake. Don't consider that they were all of us. It says, for if they had been of us, they would have no doubt continued with us. But they went out that they may be made manifest that they were not all of us. So whether you believe Paul could have quit or not, we know he didn't. So then the question, I guess, becomes this morning, can I quit? And can you quit? And I believe Paul has left us with some real reasons that he has found in his life not to quit. Can I say to you, I don't want to quit. I don't want to quit this morning. I've got too much to lose, honey, to quit now. I don't want to quit. And there have been folks stand up here this week and talk about a folks that have walked out on God and preachers that have walked out on God. I'm so thankful I've not had that experience to this date. We know folks that have walked out. We know deacons that have cheated on their wives and left their little children at home and they've disappeared and divorced. We know a youth pastor that, you know, is in prison right now doing 10 years. And we know folks that we know all about all that. But what I'm saying is never have my spirit has bore witness with somebody else's spirit, and I've witnessed that they have completely turned their back on God. I've never had that experience. If it has happened, I don't know about it. I'm just trying to say this morning, I don't want to quit. And I want to preach some reasons to you that Paul had that he didn't quit. First of all, I believe Paul had a fire that was burning. A fire that was burning. Galatians 2:20 that he wrote says this, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, and here it is. Here's the fire that was born down inside of Paul. It says this, Christ liveth in me. Amen. Honey, friend, this is the key to every bit of Paul's passion. This loving, compassionate, miracle-working, grace and mercy-filled friend of sinners, honey, is more than just head knowledge to Paul. Christ has gotten down into the heart. And can I say to you, you'll never have a passion for Christ like he did and like others did with just a head knowledge of him. You've got to get it down in your heart. And can I say, just like the Outback Steakhouse, honey, just knowledge of the Outback Steakhouse will not give you a passion for the Bloomin' Onion. You've got to get it down in you. And if you haven't ate one of them delicious onion balls, you'll not know what I'm talking about. Amen. But if you ever eat one, you'll not be able to bypass an Outback Steakhouse without, oh, something deep down in you craving one of those onions. And can I say to you, just like it is with Christ, never we wonder why folks ain't praising and shouting and running like some other folks are. I just wonder if Christ is living in you, then why don't we see Christ living out of you? Never once, let me go back here and preach. Never once did I sing about Jesus. Never once did I preach about Jesus. Never once did I shout about Jesus until the day that Jesus entered into the heart of this old wicked man. And from that day, I can't help but to sing about Jesus, to preach about Jesus, to pray about Jesus, to shout about Jesus. All I want to talk about is Jesus, because Jesus has gotten down on the inside. And if he ever gets down on the inside, it'll come out on the outside. It's evidence as to what's in your heart. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speak. And if Jesus is down in your heart, honey, he will be on your lips. Well, consider if I told you I had the spirit of a 21-year-old Michael Jordan living down in my heart. Well, you'd certainly expect to see me on the basketball court every day. You'd expect to see me dribbling that thing around, and all I would want to do is talk basketball, and all I'd want to do is shoot back. That's all I'd want to do, and you'd say, well, I expect that. You're Michael Jordan. But somehow we have thought that someone can have the Son of the Living God birthed down into their heart and never discuss Jesus. How can that be? The God that created heaven and earth, hung the stars in the sky, told the mountains where to stop, told the oceans where to stop. Honey, if that God gets down in you, somebody is going to know it. Can I say to you, let me just be honest. I could have never got started until he got down in me. Let alone think I could finish something without him down in me. He's got to be down in. I couldn't even imagine the thought that I could get over and through the penalty of sin without Jesus down in me. I was headed to hell and there was nothing that I could do to stop it. And I could never get over the power of sin without him down in me. Everything in me from the time I could remember wanted to rebel. That's all I knew. That's all I wanted to know. I wanted to say yes to sin and no to none of this stuff. Hallelujah. I know I couldn't have got in over the presence of sin, Brother Steve, had God not gotten down in me. I thought about those empires that were built up. Brother Steve Wagers talked about those empires that were lifted up. You know, that Babylonian empire that raised its roof over that place. And about 612 BC, it raised the torch over that place. And I'm sure Nebuchadnezzar, as he looked around from that throne, said, "This torch will never go out." I'm talking about a fire that was burning. But around 549 BC, we know that Medo-Persian Empire conquered them and raised their torch. And I'm sure as Cyrus looked around it, 2.9 square million miles, 50 million people under his feet, he's raised that torch up and he said, "It will never burn out." But you know that Greek Empire came along. And I sort of felt like they were them liberals when they kept thinking that that wicked woman Hillary was going to take over and raise her torch over America. They kept saying, "They'll never come and get us out of this thing. They'll never beat us. He ain't going to win. There's no chance of him winning." Woo, it was one of the best days of my life outside of salvation when I started watching their eyes well up with tears and said, "Oh, God." They thought for sure they would raise the torch. But honey, one bigger and badder came trampling over their fire and snuffed it out. And I'm sure that Alexander the Great raised his torch one day and said, "It'll never go out." Ain't that just like the heart of a sinner? Boy, he thinks he's got it made. But then that great Roman Empire came along and wiped them out and put their torch out, their fire out. But listen to this. They're all just a blot in history. I don't know any Medo-Persians. I don't know anyone from the Greek Empire. I don't know anyone from the Babylonian army. They're all just a memory way back in history. But can I say 2,000 years ago, God lit a fire on Mount Calvary, honey, and he said not even the gates of hell would prevail against it. It's been burning for 2,000 years, and it ain't went out. That's the kind of fire that you've got to have down in your soul this morning. If you even feel the urge to quit, get up here and make sure you've got that fire in your heart. Boy, I can remember as a child growing up in the house of an alcoholic. I've got more points, but I can't leave this one alone for a minute. I remember down in my house as a child, my dad, I grew up with a horrible alcoholic. He was wild, mean, hateful. He would confuse you. He would come in, you know, one day and take you fishing, and that night he would come in at 2 a.m. and beat my mother, throw the fridge down, tear all the dishes out of the cabinet. I mean, just a wild, crazy environment. And I remember as a little boy thinking how bitter I got over all that. And it carried with me into my teenage years. And as I got older and I had the ability to hang on to some of that. As a child, you sort of let some of it go because you're still young and have a tender heart. And you can forgive some of that. But boy, you get a little older, get to be a little bit of a man, and you think, "I'm going to hang on to some of that because I'm going to get revenge on some of that one day." And I remember the torch raised into my heart and said, "I'll never get over that bitterness." And then I got out there in them streets as a young teenager. 14 years old, I started selling crack cocaine on the corner of our street. And I can tell you, of all those years I spent out there, the only thing that I got was brokenness. Everything else that was good in my life that I had a chance to keep got broken. And I remember the torch being raised up in my heart of brokenness. And I felt like I'd never get over some of those friends that died in such a wicked manner. Some of the best people I've ever known in my life. At that time, I thought, I'll never get over how broken I was. But then I remember going to prison, getting 5 years, coming home, and spending 4 months home. And just 4 months later, I was already on my way back to prison. I could spend some time telling you what happened in them 4 months, but let me just say it was the most worst moments of my life. And as I sat in that cell that day, I felt like barrenness comes to mind. Emptiness, emptiness. Nothing left, nothing left. And I don't know if you've ever been there, but I promise you it's not a good place. And I felt the torch raised up into my heart saying, this is the way it'll always be for you, because that's the way it's always been. It's always been emptiness. It's always been brokenness. It's always been barrenness. It's always been bitterness for you. But I want to say this to you, my friend. 15 years ago, down in that basement of that federal building in downtown Cleveland, Ohio, here's what God did to those torches. He took them torches and cast them down. And he said, let me show you what I can do to it. The conqueror came into that cell, honey, and he smashed them down. And he snuffed out those torches. And he raised up a new torch in my life as I bowed my head and confessed him as Savior and got born again, honey. A new fire birthed into my heart. And I'm telling you, for 15 years it's been now, nothing has put it out. Nothing has stopped it. It's been raging as high as today as it has ever been raging. Paul had a fire that was burning. Friend, I want to ask, can I say if the fire started with Jesus, then it's all right. It's going to rage on. Honey, there ain't a fire truck in this county big enough to spray it out. There ain't a lake in this town big enough to drown it out. Amen. There ain't an ocean big enough to flood it out. Amen. If Jesus put the fire in your heart, don't worry about the devil when he tells you, I'm coming to snuff it out, honey. There's nothing any devil in hell can do to put your fire out. I believe if there's ever a reason Paul's gotten his heart that he can't quit, it's because of the fire that Jesus has birthed down in it. Ooh, aren't you glad that you can feel it well up in you from time to time? I feel like this week, every time someone got up and preached, they sprayed a little gas on it. Every time those singers got up and sang about, oh, what a Savior, what they was doing is they was taking gasoline and throwing it on my fire. There's nothing you can do, honey, to put it out. It's there. It's there to stay. And Paul's saying, something happened on that Damascus road. I heard a religious man say one time, I don't think it's fair that a God would leave him in such a way that would leave him unable to choose to walk away from God. I wish he was here right now. I'd love to say to him, it ain't fair what the devil did that left me with the inability to walk away from sin. The best thing he ever done for this old worthless boy was put something in my heart that left me with the inability to walk away from God. That fire burning. But not only was there a fire burning, there was a faith that was believing. He didn't have just any kind of faith, honey. He had the faith of the Son of God that loved me and gave himself for me. I remember my Uncle Dana one time said, you think this world ain't got no faith? It's full of faith. But the only problem is everything that they're putting their faith in is in vain. It's killing them right now. They've got their faith. Just ask them. I've heard them drive home from the bar drunk, pull in the driveway, barely make it. And they say, well, how in the world did you make it home? He said, oh, my faith got me here. That's ridiculous. I heard a man the other day in a place I was preaching, and the Holy Ghost rolled up in there and got on my pastor, and then it went on to the assistant pastor, and I mean sinners and saints alike was fell out, I mean worshiping God. All of a sudden, this boy slid his chair away from the table and stood up, And here's what he said. I've been a Catholic my entire life. I've walked with God my entire life. There he was sitting in a drug detention center for the fifth time, mind you. Has always been in a mess, but he's walked with God his entire life. And he said, I've been a Catholic my whole life. And my faith has taught me that love is patient and love is kind. And this doesn't look like my faith. I wanted to say to him so bad, honey, your faith has destroyed you. I'm glad that I've got a faith that isn't mine. I got it from the Son of God, honey, that loved me and gave himself for me. Oh, there's much I want to say, but time's running out. But I want to say this. He had a fire burning. He had a faith that was believing. But finally, he had friends and family that were depending. Can I say to you, the greatest thing that God has ever done for me is put me into the arms of my real Christian family. As a child, a teenager, I was the most selfish man alive. If it wasn't about me, I wanted nothing to do with it. I didn't care about you, and I didn't care if you knew it, and didn't care if you cared. That's just the way it was. I hate to say that, but that's the way it was. And my wife, I met her when I was about 17, was the greatest thing. Let me just say, that was God's grace. First sign of grace that he sent in my direction. I didn't know how valuable she was. Listen, I was still a drug-dealing punk. I didn't know nothing about none of this. Didn't even know what love really was. And I never appreciated her, not even for the least bit. Not even for the least bit. And I can remember her on the day. She stuck with me and stuck with me. Glory to God. I remember the day that I was heading to West Virginia with that load of dope. And I can remember her face crying to me saying, don't go, don't go. And I remember the old miss pushed her out of the way, didn't care, and I went on down there. And it was that trip that them folks wore that wire on me and got me sent to prison for the 5 years. It wasn't their fault. It was my fault. I know now. And can I say to you, I walked away from her like she was nothing, like she was nothing. And for 5 solid years, that woman stayed by my side, come and visit me every day, every week. I couldn't run her off. That's what grace is. That's what Jesus, you can't run him off. You can't run him off. And I'm so thankful that when God saves you, he'll put someone in your life that'll be dependent upon you. They'll need you. It'll be more than about you. If this thing was about me, I would have left a long time ago. But I'm so thankful that he knows what he's doing to put someone in your life that'll make it worth it for you to stay. I got saved on that way back to prison for the second trip. My wife, now girlfriend at the time, she had gotten pregnant while I was home. Just a horrible situation. I got saved on that way back. I sat in prison thinking, what just happened to me? I know I went down into that cell, a wicked man, and I came out gloriously saved. That's all I knew. And this is what happened. This is the first thing God put in my life. I was sitting at that visiting room table that day, and my wife had come into the room with that carriage, that baby carriage. Holding that carriage, and I remember seeing it. And she pulled that blanket back and pulled that baby out of there. Handed him across that table to me, and I can remember holding my firstborn son and looking at him in that prison. My firstborn son over there, Justin, had to meet him for the first time behind prison cell. Friend, sin will do that to you. I want you to know that. But here's what he did. When sin had separated me from all that. Honey, would you come up here? Boys, would you come up here? I just want to show you something. Come on up here. Love you. Hallelujah. Every time the devil tells me it ain't worth it, get out of there. It ain't worth it. I'm glad I can turn and look at what he has put in front of me. And and they make it worth it. Can I say, look next to you, look around you, look at what God has put in your life right now. Look at those sitting around you. Someone needs you today. Don't give up on God. Look at your children. Look at your wives. Look at who's dependent upon you today. They put this boy in my arms and I looked down at him and I thought, if there's ever something I don't want to give up on, it's that. And then he gave me Brandon and I said, oh God, if there's something with each one I looked at, I said, and then my wife was just no longer my girlfriend or some woman. She was the mother of my children. I can't quit now. It's too late, devil. You waited too long. You should have got me way back there. You waited too long. I've got Jesus in my heart. I've got a family that loves me. I've got a glory to God. It's too late. Woo! It's over for you, old boy. You should have got me way back there. Woo! Glory to God. And if your family's not enough of a reason for you to stay in the fight, honey, you better get saved. You better get born again. You better become one of them rare Christians. Them born again ones, you know. The only kind of Christian, honey. Because if you can walk out of your family, them boys over there at that church, when that deacon walked out on his family, they said, oh, the devil's attacked another Christian. That's garbage. Let me tell you something. He wasn't a Christian when he got started. I'd already spent time with him. There was no Holy Ghost down in his heart, honey. He walked out of that family as a sinner. That's all he walked out of. That boy that's doing 10 years from sleeping with that little girl that he slept with. Oh, the devil attacked another Christian. Hogwash. If you've got Jesus down in your heart this morning, honey, you'll not have a desire to walk out on your family. You'll not have a desire to sleep with some little teenage girl. You may, let me rephrase, you may have the desire, honey, but I guarantee you this much right now. Jesus is greater is he that is in thee than he that is in the world. Glory to God. I'm glad today that I can't quit. Hallelujah.